All right, good afternoon, everyone. So first, I really want to thank Stewie Shabbos and the firm here for hosting this event. It's always been wonderful. You know, I have to say, thank you so much. Perfect, thank you. I'm not sure how many, this is not my first time here. I know I've been here a couple of times already before. I think we've been doing this lunch learn for a couple of years already. And one of the most beautiful parts is the new people that I get to meet coming downtown. You know, most of my life is lived within a couple of mile radius of my home, of my shul. For me, this is like a big journey out to the world. You can see how little I get out. But really, it's been always wonderful to be able to meet new people, to be able to learn some Torah together. I want to thank Stewie for hosting and for setting up such a beautiful spread. I want to thank our executive director, Julia Shainman, who is really the engine behind everything that goes on in our shul. Always doing such a beautiful job, and Julia, thank you. And really thank you to all of you, because I'm sure it takes a lot to get you out of your office and to eat lunch on someone else's tab. I know it's exciting, you know, takes a lot of, as they say, Mesiras Nefesh, a lot of self-sacrifice. There's a credit card swiper on the way out. Right. And this counts as Stewie's billable hours, so this is even better. So I want to share with you today a little bit of an interesting idea, or a couple of interesting ideas regarding Hanukkah. So, you know, I think we've done lunch and learns in the past on the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, and very often what I've done is I focused much more on the story. We focused on the story of Hanukkah, trying to figure out what type of lessons can be learned from the story. Today I'd like to try to do something a little bit different, because I'm assuming you're all familiar with the story of Hanukkah. You know, the story of the few against the mighty, the Jews facing down the mighty Syrian Greeks, the most formidable army on the face of the civilized world at that particular time. As we say in the supplemental prayers on Hanukkah, Masarta Giborim Biad Chaloshim, you placed the strong into the hands of the weak. Then of course there was the military victory. Then of course we know the other miracle, which very often takes center stage in the Hanukkah story, which is the miracle of the Pach Shemen, the miracle of the little cruse of oil. The Chashmonaim come back into the temple after conquering the Syrian Greeks. They want to rekindle the menorah. The rekindling of the menorah was supposed to be symbolic of the reigniting of the intensity of the spirituality of the holiness of Jewish life. They come back in, and they find only one little cruse of oil. Without getting into all the technicalities, oil that was used within the temple and the Beis HaMikdash had to be prepared in a very heightened level of ritual purity. And when they come back in, they only find one little cruse, only enough to be able to sustain them for one day. It would take at least another week in order to go ahead and refine new oil. Miracle occurred. They come in, one little cruse of oil lasts for 8 days. I just say something interesting. We actually had this in Meseches Menachos, in the last Daf Yomi Mesechta. You know, people always focus on the miracle of the oil, that they came back and there was no oil. There was something else that was missing when the Chashmonaim, when the Maccabim came back into the temple. What else was missing? The menorah itself was missing. Remember again, the menorah was made of solid gold. The Syrian Greeks totally took everything of value out of the temple. The golden menorah was gone. And in fact, the Talmud explains in such dramatic detail that when the Chashmonaim, when the Maccabim first came back, they used their spears. They fashioned their spears together, taking off the tips of the spears. That was the first year menorah. Subsequently, it was made of tin, then of brass, then of copper, and only years later, when there was enough money, was it made of gold. So I'm assuming you're all familiar with all details of the Hanukkah story. What I'd like to try to do today is to show you how through the halachas, how some of the laws regarding Hanukkah, Chazal, the rabbis, taught us incredible moral ethical lessons. And with this, let me take one step back. And again, the truth is, it's apropos that we're doing this in a law firm as well. Law, and again, I don't know how it works in the American legal system, and I'm sure there's a similar idea. But in halacha, in Jewish law is much more than just about do this and don't do this. It is much greater than a series of do's and don'ts. The halachic legal system is the way the rabbis taught us about moral and ethical imperatives. By telling me to do something, the rabbis are teaching me a lesson. By telling me to abstain from something, the rabbis are teaching me a lesson. So when you learn halacha, when you learn Jewish law, it is never enough to learn simply a series of do's and don'ts, but you have to ask yourself, what's the deeper message? What is it that the rabbis are trying to convey to me? What is it that the legal system is trying to convey to me? If it's biblical law, what is it that God is trying to convey to me? That's the eye we have to look at Jewish law with. So Hanukkah is a Yom Tov that has two aspects to it. On one hand, there are the mechanistic details of Hanukkah. How to light the menorah, where to light the menorah, for how long the menorah must be kindled. And then, of course, there are the messages of Hanukkah. What are the messages? What is the takeaway? And just to show you why this is important, how do you know if you've had a successful Hanukkah? 36 latkes, like, is that the metric of success? You know, 14 jelly donuts. No, what's the metric of, I've kindled the menorah every night, is that the metric of success? Of course, on one level, on a mechanistic level, on a behavioral level, that is a metric of success. But the success of any Jewish endeavor is always measured in growth. Have I grown as a person? Have I internalized the lessons of this particular Yom Tov? And as such, it behooves us to understand what are the messages of Hanukkah? What are the lessons? What are the units of growth that we are supposed to inculcate within ourselves in order to measure, did we have a successful Hanukkah experience or not? And these answers and many others, I think, are contained within the seemingly mechanistic details of the observance of Hanukkah. Let's begin with number one. So just to show you what I want to do today, is I want to show you a couple of different halachas, a couple of different concepts within the Jewish law concerning Hanukkah, and I want to show you the moral ethical lessons that come out from these lessons. So number one, Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara teaches the following halacha. Mitzvah Hanukkah, ner ish ubeiso. The mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is a person, is a mitzvah, is a commandment upon the home. Very, very important halacha. It's a mitzvah to kindle the Ner Hanukkah on your home. Meaning that even if, let's say, I'm not home, if someone is kindling the menorah in my home, I discharge my obligation like that. As opposed to other mitzvahs, other commandments, which are an obligation upon the individual, Hanukkah is a mitzvah upon the domicile, upon the home. So, again, on the most basic observance of that halacha, how do you observe the mitzvah of Hanukkah? Ner ushu beso. One candle per home. That's all. If you kindle one candle per home, you're good. You fulfilled the mitzvah. But then the Gemara goes on. V'ha mahadrin. Mahadrin, I don't know the good English word for this. How do you translate it over here? No. Oh, mahadrin. Good. It's wonderful English. Good. And the mahadrin, right? So mahadrin, we'll just translate it as, if you want to be a little bit better. Right? So again, the most basic obligation is one candle per household. Mahadrin, if you want to go a little bit above and beyond, ner l'chol echad ve'echad, one candle for every person in the home. V'ha mahadrin min ha-mahadrin, and what's the highest way to perform, the best way to perform this mitzvah? So Beishamai, Omrim Beishamai says, Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona Mikan ve'elech Pochei Tzolech. Here the Talmud records a dispute, which we're not really going to get into too much. Maybe if we have time at the end, we will. Beis Shammai says you start with 8 candles on the first night and you work your way down towards the last night. You start with 8 and off with 1. Beis Hillel Omrim, Yom Rishon Madlik Echad Mikan Ve'elech Mosif V'Holich. Beis Hillel says you start on the first night with 1 candle and from that point forward, each subsequent night, you add on 1 candle. And in fact, we know that we paskin, the law is decided in accordance with Beis Hillel. So the way we observe, if one wants to observe the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah in the best possible way, you start out the first night with 1 candle and add on 1 candle every subsequent night to the point that when I'm at the end of Hanukkah, I have 8 candles. If you take a look at number 2, the Leif Simcha. The Leif Simcha was one of the Rebbes of Gur. Ger is a Hasidic sect, one of the largest Hasidic sects, and the previous Rebbe was known as the Leif Simcha. That was the title of his sefer, title of his work, that's how he was known. And he says something amazing. He says, Shemahadrin himiloshon mahadir abasra, lachzor acharof. He says the etymological root of the word mahadrin, you know, we translated, or we didn't translate mahadrin, or we described mahadrin as a little bit better. He says the etymological root of the word mahadrin, lahader, means to run after something, to pursue something. V'ulai zeha kavano, shal mahadrin min ha-mahadrin, haynu ratzon achar ratzon, teshuka achar teshuka. So the Rebbe Gerebbe says something amazing. He says, what is the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah? The mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is to stop being satisfied with mediocrity. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is mahadrim and a mahadrin, to always run after more, to stop coasting through life, and to build one level after the next level after the next level. Mahajim and a mahajim means to run after more and more and more. So what is the Rebbe teaching us? So perhaps the lesson is as follows. If you look, the Gemara is teaching us an incredible life lesson. The Gemara begins by saying, what's the core mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? What's the core mitzvah?
Lighting a candle.
Thank you, Eric. Right? Ner ish ubeso. One candle in the home. The most basic obligation of a Jew is to bring light into your home. We have a world that's filled with so much darkness and a world that's filled with so much difficulty. And sometimes the home is like the last frontier. The home is our last bastion of goodness. Therefore, again, there's a mitzvah to bring in some light into your home. How much light? How much light? Any amount of light. Near issue beso. Just bring some light into your home. That's the basic obligation that every person has. Mahadrin. So if you want to be a little bit better, you want to run after more in life. You're not content with just some light. So what do you want to do? Ner l'chol echad ve'echad. Which means what? Every single person in the home has to contribute something to that light. Or that there has to be some light each and every day. Don't be content with just having light on some days. Don't be content with just having light in your home from some of the members of the household. But every member of the household has to contribute some light each and every day. And what's mahadrin min ha-mahadrin? What's the highest level? Says the Gemara. We paskin like Beis Hillel. Yom Rishon Madlik Achos. Mikan ve'elich Mosif v'holich. The mahadrin min ha-mahadrin, the paradigmatic Judaic familial or home experience, is that every single day I am adding to my holiness. Every single day I am adding more light. Every single day I'm running after more. Today cannot be like yesterday. And tomorrow cannot be a mirror image of today. So what the Leiv Simcha, what the Ger Rebbe is teaching us, is that embedded in this simple detail regarding the laws of Chanukah is not just how to fulfill the mitzvah of kindling the menorah, but in fact, it's a framework for successful Judaic living. The most basic level, ner ishu beso. There has to be some light in your home. Mahadrin, you want to take it, you want to run after a little bit more in life? Ner l'chol echad ve'echad. Every family member, every member of the household has to bring some light and bring that light every single day. Mahadrin and a mahadrin, you want to be even more? Add to your light each and every day. Don't be content with the light, don't be content today with the light from yesterday. Everything is always about growth. Everything is always about moving forward. You know, one of the greatest challenges that we face in our Judaism is leveling out, is flatlining, is plateauing. You know, we wouldn't want to do it in our careers. We certainly would not want to earn the same amount of money when I'm 40 than when I was 20. And we don't want to earn the same amount of money when I'm 41 than when I'm 40. We want growth in every other area of life. But sometimes we flatline within our spirituality. The whole essence of Chanukah is add light to your life. What kind of light? What's the nature of the light? That's between you and God. How you decide to add the light, who's adding the light, that's a personal decision that every single person makes. But everyone has to add light. So you see the almost levels of growth. Start with some light, every single person should bring some light, and mahadrin and mahadrin, add to your light each and every day. But there's an incredible lesson that's taught here, which is if you notice, these steps are progressive. In other words, if you notice how the Talmud frames it, it frames it first as basic mitzvah, mahadrin, and then mahadrin min ha-mahadrin, which tells us what? You can't jump to mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. You can't jump to the top level. You can't jump to adding on additional light every day until what? Until you've committed yourself to sustaining the light that you have. And herein lies an incredible and important mitzvah. If you take a look at number 3. So another statement in the Talmud. Itmar, Rav Amar, Ein Madlikin Miner L'Ner. So hold on. So pause what I just said for just a moment and watch this. There's another detail in the laws of Hanukkah, which is an interesting dispute. Can you light one Hanukkah candle from another Hanukkah candle? So a simple example. It's the second night of Hanukkah. Let's say, to illustrate this, I'm using candles, not oil, just to keep it easy. It's the second night of Hanukkah. I lit my first candle, and now I want to light the second candle from the first candle. Am I allowed to do that or not? So it's a dispute in the Talmud. Rav says you are not allowed to do this, because Rav says you can't use the Hanukkah candles for any personal benefit, even to go ahead and kindle a new light, another Hanukkah light. Shmuel Amar Madlikin. Shmuel says that it is permitted. How do we hold? Halacha l'maisa, practically speaking, what's the law? The Shulchan Aruch in number 4 writes as follows. Madlikin ner Hanukkah mi ner Hanukkah. You can go ahead and light one ner Hanukkah, one candle, from another candle. V'dafka la'alika mizeh lezeh b'lo emtsoi, aval la'alika mizeh lezeh ayidei ner shalchol aser. Bear with me for a moment in these details. You are allowed to kindle one Hanukkah candle from another. So second night of Hanukkah, if you want to go ahead and kindle your second candle from your first candle, you can do that. What can't you do? So we'll get technical for just a moment. What you can't do is, imagine, you light your first Hanukkah candle, then you decide to light a non-mitzvah candle, a secondary candle from the Hanukkah candle, and I feel like I should get like a PowerPoint or something, right? And then you go ahead, and so you're going to light what we call a ner shalchol, which is a non-sacred candle from the first Hanukkah candle, and then use that to light the second Hanukkah candle. That you can't do. You can light one Hanukkah candle from the other Hanukkah candle, but you can't light a what we'll call a mundane candle from the Hanukkah candle to subsequently use the mundane candle to light the other Hanukkah candle. So what's the message? So the way we hold in halacha is madlikin miner lener. Do you know what madlikin miner lener teaches us? Consistency. The most important ingredient in our spirituality is consistency. You are allowed to light from one candle to the next. And in fact, you should light from one candle to the next. What can't you do? You can't introduce a foreign candle into that mix. Why? What happens if you introduce a foreign candle into that mix? What does that do? It disrupts the consistency. One of the most important aspects in our relationship with God is a sense of consistency. And one of the things that we struggle most in our relationship with God is a sense of consistency. And by the way, it's not just unique to a relationship with God. Imagine if I tell you the following scenario. I made a wonderful deal with my wife. I'm going to be a good husband on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. But the rest of the week, I need me time, right? The rest of the week, I'm going to be selfish, self-centered, and totally egocentric. I'm sorry, you know, I love you, right? I love you. I'm giving you Sunday, Tuesday, and Fridays, right? But at the end of the day, I just need some me time. So we all know how long that marriage is going to last, right? Not too long. Any relationship in which you're not consistent does not last, right? So again, marriage is a wonderful metaphor, because at the end of the day, so many issues within marital harmony, within shalom bayis, are due to a lack of consistency. You're not following through on our marital contract. You're not following through on our relationship contract. It's not enough just to be nice when you feel like it. It's not enough just to help out when you feel rested. It's not enough just to be there for me when your needs are taken care of. You have to be consistent. It's true in our human relationships, and it's true in our relationship with God. Consistency is the key. And where did the rabbis express that message to us? Madlikin miner lener. You can light from one candle to the next. I take the light from yesterday's candle and I add it on to today's candle. And today's candle will ignite tomorrow's candle. And so on and so forth throughout the entirety of Hanukkah. So this first lesson that the rabbis teach us through these incredible laws is the following. That life, Hanukkah, you see, I'm not going to get too much into this theme now. But Hanukkah, to a certain degree, you know, in Hasidic literature, is looked at as a Rosh Hashanah. Because I want to tell you a little secret. Every day is Rosh Hashanah. Every day is a brand new beginning. Every day brings with it its own opportunities. But Hanukkah is a real new beginning. Because remember, the whole miracle of Hanukkah was a rededication of the temple. It was a rededication of the national temple. It was a rededication of the personal temple. And that's why when we go ahead and we light our menorah, the second blessing we make is Sha'asa Nisim La'avosinu Bayamim Ahim Bazman Hazeh. You did miracles for our forefathers in those days, in this time. What does that mean? In those days, in this time? Okay, so if you want to be a literalist, you can say in those days historically, in this time, referring to the calendrical date on the 25th of Kislev. But on a much deeper level, what we understand is that Hanukkah represents the Yom Tov of rededication. And just like our ancestors rededicated the temple, rededicated themselves, Hanukkah offers us the opportunity for us to rededicate ourselves. Rededicate ourselves to who? To God and to ourselves. Rededicate ourselves to ourselves. I can be better. I can be more. I can be more luminescent. I could be more filled with light. So how do you get there? And the rabbis are telling us, First start with some light. Nerishu beso. You want to be a little bit better? Have light every single day. That's the consistency. Start with some light because some light is better than no light. The next step after some light is ner lechol echad ve'echad, which you can understand as some light every single day. Spiritual success is predicated on consistency. And once you have consistency, mehadrim and amehadrim. Once you're consistent, then you could add light. Once you're able to maintain a certain baseline of spirituality, day in and day out, then you have the foundation upon which to build upon. Lesson number two. Take a look at number five on your sheet. So the Gemara here says something amazing. Again, there's so much to talk about with Hanukkah, one of my favorite Yamim Tovim. So look at number five. Midikamarachina na sheg chamasav tzivana lahadik nesh Hanukkah, shmamina hadlaka osa mitzvah. So let's take a step back here for just a moment. There is a raging dispute in the Talmud between the sages Hillel and Shammai about at what point in time does a person fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah, of Ner Hanukkah. Is it when you kindle the menorah? Or is it when you place it down? And there are many practical differences, which we're not going to get into right now. The way we hold in Jewish law is hadlaka osa mitzvah. That it's the kindling that affects the mitzvah. That's why, again, you know, you can't go ahead and have your menorah in your basement, light it, and then bring it to your window afterwards. It has to be in the right place at the time that you kindle it. Because the entire mitzvah takes place at the time that you kindle it. Okay? Very straightforward halacha. See, my friends, what I also want to try to sensitize you to is that anytime you see a statement in Jewish law, what you have to do is you have to close your eyes for a moment and you have to say, I know the details. Now, what's the message? So now the rabbis told us, hadlaka osa mitzvah. It's the act of kindling that creates the mitzvah. Look at number six. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, the great Kedushas Levi, says something amazing. Amu Rabbeinu Zal, hadlaka osa mitzvah. What does it mean, says the Rebbe, that hadlaka osa mitzvah, that kindling creates the mitzvah? Rav Levi Yitzchok suggests that this is not just a detail by Hanukkah, but in fact it's a detail for life. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. It is the kindling. The kindling, says the Rebbe, represents what? Ratzel Omar, sha'adam yislahiv la'avodasa v'zeo hadlaka. The kindling represents passion. Hadlaka, when you're on fire about something, osa mitzvah. This is what creates the mitzvah. You see, one of the great things that we struggle with in our Judaism is kind of going through the motions. The behaviors I have down pat, right? I know what I have to do. I know what's permitted. I know what's prohibited. I know what's kosher. I know what's not kosher. I know what's pure, what's impure. I got it all down. And I'm going to go through all the details. But what's the challenge? I don't feel it. I do it, but I don't feel it. So comes along Hanukkah, the time of rededication, the time when we're supposed to go ahead and relight the menorah inside of us. And what do we remind ourselves? I don't just want to get by going through the motions. I don't just want to be the behavioral Jew. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. I want to be passionate. I want to be passionate about my God. I want to be passionate about my Torah. I want to be passionate about my religion. So, of course, the million-dollar question then becomes, how do you become passionate? So this links back to what we just said before. On a most basic level, and it's going to sound a little bit counterintuitive, but how do you cultivate passion? Passion is cultivated through consistency. Now, where do we get this from? So I'll tell you something amazing. I've mentioned this in a number of classes. I don't know why this theme has kept coming up in a number of classes that I've been giving, but I'll share with you an incredible idea. The Torah commands us, V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha. We have an obligation to love God. Obligation to love God. What's the obvious problem? You can't legislate love. You can legislate behaviors. You could tell a person, you have to keep Shabbos. You have to eat kosher. You can't wear wool and linen. You could legislate behaviors. You can't legislate emotions. Yet God commands us to love Him. Incredibly strange. So Rashi in his commentary says something amazing. Rashi comments, he says, Aseh devarav me'ahava. Literally again, serve God like you love Him. What does that mean, serve God like you love Him? So I was teaching this in a college class that I teach, and one of the girls told me there's a great phrase. It's called, fake it till you make it, right? Which means that sometimes you just have to go through the motions, even though you don't feel it. And after enough time of going through the motions, at some point in time, you'll feel it. You see, we often think that passion is just something you stumble upon. Inspiration is something that just happens. The pathway to inspiration is paved with days, weeks, and sometimes years of uninspired, continuous, and consistent work. Right? Oh, 100%. Oh, the rabbis express this in many different ways. We have this concept that even if you're not doing something for the most sacred or hallowed intentions, you do it anyway, because the assumption is keep on doing it, and ultimately again the intentions will come. 1,000%. So now we begin to see how these various laws fit together. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. When I look at my menorah and I light my menorah, I realize in that moment when I kindle that flame, that's the mitzvah. And I realize what's the message? The message is, I have to be on fire about my Judaism. I have to be on fire about my God. I have to be on fire about the incredible spiritual opportunities, incredible spiritual destiny that awaits each of us. But how do I get inspired? How do I become passionate? It's the consistency. Sometimes you just have to plug away at something. Even though plugging away is often very uninspirational, and plugging away can sometimes be very dispassionate. But if you maintain the consistency, madlikin miner liner, if you continue to light one candle from the next, one candle from the next, one candle from the next, continue the consistency, then ultimately again the passion will come. But hadlaka osa mitzvah, our dream, our aspiration, is not simply to be proficient in the mechanistic or behavioral details of our Judaism, but we aspire to be on fire. We aspire to be passionate. We aspire to live a life of hadlaka osa mitzvah. Another interesting detail. Take a look at 7. Another interesting halacha. So again, and I'm just pointing out how amazing this is, how all of these lessons are really culled from the basic, from the laws. Yes?
So can I just ask you on that last
Please.
Point? So you initiated that point by saying, you know, many of us are used to performing certain mitzvahs and going through the motions, and then you're now saying, well, the way to get inspiration and passion is to go through the motion.
Yep.
So I'm still looking for the answer to the question.
You just said it. You just said it. How do you go ahead and build a successful marriage? I mean, I don't know. So I'm asking. But I'm saying, how do you build any successful relationship? You put in. The parable I often give is, it's my job to take out the garbage. I hate taking out the garbage. I hate it. Why? Because somehow, for some reason, whenever there's the most amount of garbage, either it's a million degrees, or like it's 20 degrees below zero. Or it's raining, or it's this. When the weather is perfect, my family generates no garbage. But when again, there's inclement weather, suddenly again, I need like a dumpster. Right? So I have a choice in that moment. My choice in that moment is I could sulk, I could mutter, or I could slap a smile on my face, pretend like I just won the lottery because I feel so privileged to clean up after a family who seems to be producing more and more and more and more garbage. And you know what? The amazing part is if you slap the smile on your face, over time, you'll actually begin to feel privileged in taking out the garbage for your family. Because sometimes it's just all about conditioning ourselves, plugging away. And I know it sounds counterintuitive. It sounds like we struggle with being dispassionate and just going through the behaviors. So how do I get to become passionate? By going through those same behaviors. Yes, it sounds circular because it is circular. And I don't know how to explain it except to say it works. It works. Now, it takes time, and people are different. You know, it has a lot to do also, people react to different things in different ways. So sometimes at the end of the day, for some people, this is a shorter journey. For some people, it's a longer journey. But this is what the rabbis are trying to teach us. Like anything in life, you have to plug away at it until you ultimately find the passion in it. So if you think, but you're absolutely right. The circular nature of it is quite striking. So I'll share with you one additional idea. Take a look at number 7. So there's another halacha. We just said halacha osa mitzvah. In that same halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says something as follows. Lefichach. Another very interesting halacha. Lefichach. Im kavta kodem sha'avar zmano. Eino zokokla. This is another fascinating halacha, by the way, which is a very important law to know in Hilchos Chanukah, because I would venture to say it comes up at least once a Chanukah. What happens? I like my menorah. I even spend the extra money to get like the ready-made ones. Mamish, they're going to burn for 17 hours. It's going to be fantastic. And then what happens? I light it, and sure enough, 3 minutes later, it goes out. So what is my obligation in that moment? What is my obligation after that Ner Chanukah went out? So this actually, again, is subject to dispute in the Talmud. I'm kind of skipping to the conclusion. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Kofsa kodem sha'avar zmana. If the Ner Chanukah, if the candle or the light goes out before the requisite time has passed. Remember, again, I don't want to get too into the details now, but remember, Ner Chanukah has to remain lit for 30 minutes. That's the amount of time it has to remain lit. It goes out 3 minutes after I kindled it. What's the halacha? The halacha is, eino zakokla. I am not obligated to relight it. I'm not obligated to relight it. Now again, just to understand the legal ramifications of that, this is a sister concept to the concept we just studied. Once you say hadlaka osa mitzvah, that the act of kindling is what creates the mitzvah, that means the moment I kindle my menorah, as long as all of the necessary ingredients for a proper kindling were in place, I have discharged my obligation. So meaning, the moment I kindle it, as long as, again, there's enough oil, as long as there's no wind, you know, roaring through my home, as long as I've done everything I need to do at that moment that I kindle, I fulfilled my obligation. If it subsequently goes out, that is not my responsibility. I'm not obligated to relight it. Can you relight it? Sure. In fact, again, there are many opinions that say you should relight it. You don't make another bracha or anything like that. But the point is, halachically, I'm not obligated to relight it. Now, what I want to point out to you is something amazing. This halacha seems to be totally counterintuitive. If you take a look at number 8, the B'nai Yisaschar says something amazing. It says, Kavsa in Zakokla. So the way we paskin, the way the halacha is decided, is that if the menorah goes out, the candle goes out, you don't have to relight it. He says, Va'al ze gam kein yispala ha'adam. Lama hikilu kol kach b'ner mitzvah loze. Ulefer sumi nisa yoser haya me'aroi letakin shia zakok lachro ladika. So this doesn't make any sense. Let me ask this question. Let's say I go ahead and I put up my sukkah. And I go ahead and, well, I put on my tefillin and the strap rips. So we don't say that once you put on your tefillin, you fulfill the mitzvah, you're done. No, I go replace the straps, I can put on tefillin again. Meaning, What does this mean? That once you light the candle, that's it. You're done. Even if it suddenly goes out, and I wouldn't be obligated, I'm not obligated to relight it. Meaning, you want to tell me that I fulfill the mitzvah, that's fine, but I should be obligated to relight it. Isn't, remember, there's another piece to this, which is the entire essence of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a concept called Pirsume Nisa, which means publicizing the miracle. The whole idea is a publicizing of the great miracle that happened to our people. To the point, by the way, that, you know, what's the halacha if you don't have money to purchase candles or to purchase oil for your menorah? What's the halacha? The Shulchan Aruch says, you have to sell the shirt off your back. Now, there are almost no mitzvos like that. If I don't have tefillin, I'm not obligated to sell the shirt off my back. If I don't have a lulav and esrog, I'm not obligated to sell the shirt off my back. Yet for a couple of mitzvos, specifically Ner Chanukah, also Dalet Kozos, the four cups by Pesach, I'm obligated to literally sell the that's not hyperbolic, that's literal. I'm literally obligated to sell the shirt off my back in order to go ahead and fulfill this particular mitzvah. Why? Because since there's such a public component to the mitzvah, I am obligated to go ahead and do it and fulfill it to whatever degree I need to. And yet that same mitzvah, if I kindle the menorah and the menorah goes out, I'm not obligated to relight it. How do I understand that? And the Bnei Yisachar says something amazing. I'm in number 8, three lines down, right after the periods there. Ulurame zeh, tiknu b'ner mitzvah halazeh, Kav se'in zakokla, l'rameis shekenhu ma'alas esik ha-Torah, afilu lo kivin es ha-alocha la-hayir she'yelchu rab na'ro. Let me tell you this outside. The Bnei Yisachar says something amazing. He says the extinguished candle represents life failure. The extinguished candle represents life failure. And it represents failed spiritual initiatives, failed relationship initiatives, failed life initiatives. So what happens when we fail? What happens when we fail in life? So generally, when we fail in life, we feel like a failure. So even if I manage to go out and summon up the courage to try again, I look at that failure as just what it is. It's a failure. It's a failure. What did I gain from it? Absolutely nothing. What did I lose from it? A lot. It comes on to the Bnei Yisachar and teaches us, that the rabbis are teaching us, that that is not true. From every life failure, there is the potential for growth. For every life failure is the foundation to build something new. From every life failure, there is something beautiful and something holy that emanates from it. And therefore, again, says the Bnei Yisachar, that's why Kav Se'in Zakukla, if you did your part, you put in your effort, and you know what? Your efforts didn't materialize. See, if the halacha would tell you that you have to go quickly and relight it, then what's the message? Then what's the message? The failed efforts are meaningless. But the halacha tells you that what? You put in the effort, you did what you were supposed to do, and you failed? You don't have to relight it. Because for that moment on Chanukah night, what the rabbis are trying to teach us is that there's success even in failure. There is growth even in failure. And I know we say this a lot, and it sounds a bit cliche, but let me show you something absolutely amazing. If you came for nothing else but the Chinese food and number 9, it's a good day. Take a look at number 9. This is from the Sefer, the Be'er HaChaim. He says, get ready for this. He says something. V'yesod gadol zeh, nirmaz b'minag Yisrael Torah, l'sachek im ha-dreidel. You know, we have a very interesting custom, right? To play with a dreidel. To play with a dreidel. And by the way, I want to point out, especially when you look in Hasidic literature, the dreidel was not just a kid's toy. The dreidel occupied a very important place in Chanukah. There's historical meaning for the dreidel. The Medrash Chanukah brings down that when the Syrian Greeks outlawed the study of Torah, children would learn Torah clandestinely. When the Greeks would come around, they would take out a dreidel or some type of top and play with it. We give symbolism to that. There's many symbolisms. But listen to this idea. Listen to this symbolism of the dreidel. Kilo shayach linatzeach b'mischak zeh, kiim achar shiafsek ha-dreidel. So I'm assuming everyone here knows the laws, basic rules of dreidel, right? Dreidel 101, right? Each letter represents something else. Now, what's amazing is if you ever play dreidel, I suggest it strongly. Right? It's a wonderful, and also, you know what? If nothing else, you know what the great part about dreidel, at least for now, no one has come up with a dreidel app, which means that you actually like have to interact with people with it, right? You actually have to go ahead and interact with your children. You actually have to sit around a table. I'm sure someone will come up with it probably still before Hanukkah, if they haven't come up with it already. So listen to this. Listen to this. So when you play dreidel, the amazing part is, of course, a successful dreidel player, right? How do you measure your dreidel prowess? Right? By how long the top spins for, right? That's it. If you can make it, be it amazingly enough, your success or failure is only known when?
When it stops.
When it stops and falls on its side. You only know what you did, what you have, when it stops spinning and it falls on its side. Writes the Be'er HaChaim something amazing. Kilo shayach linatziach b'mischach zeh. You cannot be successful in dreidel. Kiem acher sheyafsik hadreidel lihistovev v'yipol al mekoma. You only know if you're successful or if you failed when the dreidel falls on its side. Shehari rak az yira eza os ala biyado. Only when the dreidel stops and falls on its side can you see what letter comes up. Ukimo ki nami ba'avodas Hashem. So the Be'er HaChaim says, the dreidel is an incredible metaphor for life. You see, when the dreidel is spinning, what does that represent? That represents success, right? I'm spinning, I'm going, I'm moving, it's dynamic, it's exciting, it's beautiful, it's graceful. The dreidel spinning represents the times in life when things are going as they're supposed to be going. When I'm going, my life is going according to plan, I'm producing, I'm going. And then what happens? Sometimes, and it happens for all of us, at some point in time, the dreidel stops spinning, the dreidel of life stops spinning, and it falls on its side. Sometimes I just fall on my side, I just fail. But in that moment when I fall on my side and fail, something amazing happens. Shehanefila letzorech aliyahi. V'alkein lo yisya'ish v'lo yipol berucho kishanichshal b'davar ma. So listen to what the Be'er HaChaim says. He says, you know, it's only when the dreidel falls on its side that you know, do you have to put something in or can you take something out? It's only when we fall in life that we discover our weaknesses. And it's only when we discover our weaknesses that we discover ultimately again what we truly have to work on. You see, when we're spinning and things are going according to plan, I'm great. I'm golden. Everything is perfect. Everything is wonderful. But when we fail and when we fall, we discover our Achilles heel. When we fail and when we fall, we discover the frailties and the failures within ourselves. And there is something beautiful in discovering your frailties within your failures. What's the beauty? I now know what I have to work on. I now know the area in which I am deficient. I now know what has to be addressed within my life personality. Now I understand what it is that I have to focus on. And says the Be'er HaChaim, that's the symbolism in dreidel. At the end of the day, you only know what the story is when you fall on your side. You only know what the real story is when the spinning stops, the failure begins, and now you can figure out ultimately again what it is that you have to do. And this is this last message. Kavsa eno zakukla. If you light the menorah, you did what you were supposed to do, and it goes out, that represents a life failure. And at least on Hanukkah, normally what we say is, for failure, when you fail, what's our response? You get back up, you relight it. For 8 nights out of the year, the rabbis want you not to relight it. The rabbis want you to look at the extinguished flame. The rabbis want you to look at your failure. And they want you not to look at your failure. You know, sometimes we look at our failures, we feel bad. No, the goal is not to make me feel bad. The goal is to look at my failure and find the beauty in my failure. What could I learn from my failures in life? What could I learn from the times that I fell on my side? What could I learn from the times that I fall? Can I identify my deficiencies? Can I identify where I have fallen short? Can I identify where I am deficient? And can I find the courage to build myself up in those areas? The Be'er HaChaim says, we are all the dreidel. There are times in life when we spin, we're graceful, we're perfect. And there are times when mamish, we just fall flat on our side. And sometimes in life, when you fail and you fall flat on your side, you give up hope of ever being able to get up. But in that moment, when you fall flat on your side, you look at your failures, you identify your failures, you now chart for yourself the course for growth, to remedy those failures, and then that failure in and of itself becomes the very springboard for beautiful spiritual dynamic growth. So if you bring this all together with this, I'll close. We see how from the incredible halachos of Hanukkah, we learn from the just general basic laws, we learn such incredible life lessons. From the first halacha, we learned that our obligation is to bring light into our homes. Just some basic light. The next step is bring light every single day. The third step, increase the light every single day. But you could only increase the light of life if you first establish for yourself a religious, or we'll call spiritual, consistency. I have to be consistent in my spirituality. Only once there is consistency, ultimately can I be a Mahadran Mina Mahadran Jew. Only once there's consistency can I focus on increasing the light each and every day. The second lesson, Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. We have to stop just getting by on our behavioral Judaism and infuse the passion. But as was pointed out, the great anomaly is, how do you reach a level of passionate relationship with God? How do you lose yourself in the Ribbono Shel Olam, like a Shir HaShirim type of existence, of being in love with God? Madlikin miner lener. Consistency. Consistency paves the way ultimately again for passion. Next lesson, Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. The Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, sorry, Kafsa Eno Zakokla. Failure does not just mean that I failed. But failure, when taken the right way, becomes the ultimate pathway for growth. Failure helps me to identify my deficiencies. And when I identify those deficiencies, I know exactly the areas I have to tackle. We are the dreidel. There are times when we spin. There are times when we fall on the side. But just like the effectiveness of the dreidel is not when it spins. The true effectiveness of the dreidel is only when it falls on its side. Then you know, is it a nun? Is it a gimel? Is it a hay? Is it a shit? What is it? So sometimes in life, the greatest moments of growth do not come in moments of success. They come in moments of abysmal failure. They come in moments when I'm down and out, when I'm on my side. I realize what's broken. I realize what's deficient. And I find the courage to fix it. We should be zocheh mirtz Hashem that as we come into the Yom Tov of Chanukah, and as we celebrate our historical rededications, we should find the courage to engage in the personal rededication of the mikdash of our soul, of the mikdash of our heart. Thank you.
Again, we want to thank Rabbi Silber for taking for time from his busy schedule to share with us some wonderful insights.
In New Jersey, Sunday night, first night of Hanukkah.